Please turn to Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus enters Jerusalem in a very overt, very clear, very powerful manner and says, "I am the Messiah." With his authority as Messiah, verse 12, Jesus enters the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they said. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, where he spent the night. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." The religious leaders of Israel have failed. God placed them in charge of his people, and they did not lead them properly. So Jesus wants to tell a story about the failure of the religious leaders. Grapes are a very important crop in Israel, and Jesus wants to tell a story about the failure of the religious leaders, and he's going to couch it, or he's going to put it in the language of everyday life. He wants to use a situation that everyone can understand, so he tells a story about a vineyard. Please stand with me. Our powerful text this morning is verses 28 to 32. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We pray now for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit into their lives 30, 60, and 100-fold. Pray now for me that I would deliver this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We're going to start out right away this morning. In your notes, the nation of Israel is often represented by a vineyard. The nation of Israel is often represented by a vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5. Would you join me there, please? Always keep your finger in our text. Isaiah 5, "I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones. He planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for you? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. Please turn back to our text in Matthew. When Jesus tells this parable in Matthew, he is talking to the religious leaders. God commanded them to go and work in his vineyard, the nation of Israel. The religious leaders talked a lot about God and about being godly, but they did not have a real life-changing relationship with God. And as a result, they did not obey. In this parable, Jesus talks about two sons. One said he would obey, but didn't. One said he would not, but did. Which one obeyed? Jesus is saying to the religious leaders, you are the son who said he would obey, but doesn't. God had given them a command, take care of my vineyard, and they had failed. Would you turn just a couple pages over to Matthew chapter 23? Keep your finger in Matthew 21. Matthew 23. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Jesus talks about another group, the tax collectors and prostitutes. Tax collectors and prostitutes were seen as the most vile, evil sinners of Jesus' day. The religious leaders saw these people as completely vile and worthless. Listen to this shocking statement that Jesus says to the religious leaders. Verse 32 of our text. Verse 31 of our text. I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. The sinners in the community, the tax collectors and prostitutes, when they heard the message of John the Baptist, they truly repented. They knew that they were sinners. They admitted that they were sinners. They admitted that they needed a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. They embraced the message of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus changed their lives. And as a result, they are in the kingdom of heaven. The religious leaders also lived sinful lives. When they heard John the Baptist, they rejected him. And when they heard Jesus, they rejected him too. The religious leaders are the son that said he would obey, but did not. What principle can we take from this story about Jesus? Number two in your notes, obedience is action, not words. Listen to Bible scholar Mr. France. Doing the will of God is, I quote Mr. France, an expression which distinguishes mere profession from actual compliance. Doing the will of God, doing the will of God is an expression which distinguishes mere profession from actual compliance. Saying that you will obey is not obeying. We're all so good at talking. I am. We can all talk a good talk. I know that I can. But Jesus' point is that actions, not words, are true obedience to God. Talk is easy. There's no shortage of people who talk a lot about being good Christians. We talk, we sing, we pray. We sing about giving our lives to Christ. We sing about surrendering everything to Christ. We sing about loving each other. We sing about loving God, but it's all just a bunch of noise if we don't actually live out what we sing. We pray. I pray, you pray. We pray for our church to grow. We pray for people to come to know Christ. We pray for lots of money to be raised for different ministries. But if we only pray and we don't obey, it's just a bunch of noise. What about you? Are you just a talker? Or do you actually obey Christ with your life? We can talk about being a committed follower of Christ on Facebook. We can put Christian stuff on our cars. Some of us tattoo verses and sayings about Christ on our bodies, but none of that is what matters. The only thing that matters is, are you actually living a Christian life? The religious leaders talked a good talk, but they didn't do anything. And if you look in verse 32, the main reason they didn't do anything is because they did not truly have a relationship with Christ. This is not about doing. This is about relationship. They rejected the gospel. And because they rejected the gospel, they did not have the life-changing relationship with Christ. If you really have Christ in your heart, you will act. Because that relationship will do it through you. And I want you to get from the outset that this is, I'm not saying just go out and try harder. The religious leaders didn't do anything because they did not know Jesus. They did not have him in their hearts. They rejected John the Baptist. They rejected the gospel. If you have Christ in your heart, he will change your life. And the result will always be Christian action. In your notes, here are three ways God wants you to take action. Here are three ways God wants you to take action. Number one, forsaking sin. Forsaking sin. Anyone can talk about living a pure and holy life. Many people talk about living a life of holiness and purity, but few people actually do it. Please turn a few pages back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Millions of people talk about repentance and talk about how bad sin it is and how we should live like this or that, but talking about it is not what counts. Singing about it is not what counts. Praying about it when you don't do anything about it is not what counts. Actually turning from sin to God is what counts. So what sin are you struggling with? What sin am I struggling with? Jesus talks about two sons. One said he would obey but didn't. The other said he wouldn't but did. Which one obeyed? My brothers and sisters, we've talked about holiness enough. We've sung about holiness enough. We've prayed about holiness. It's time for action. Number two, loving each other. Loving each other. We talk about loving each other. We say we love each other. We sing about loving each other. We pray about loving each other. But none of that makes us an obedient church. And none of that makes you an obedient Christian. And none of that makes me an obedient Christian. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 3, please? 1 John chapter 3. First John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and truth. Saying we love each other is not obedience. We have to actually serve each other to be obedient. We have to actually sacrifice for each other to be obedient. Obedience is action, not words. Jesus talks about two sons. One said he would obey and didn't. One said he wouldn't and did. My brothers and sisters, we've talked about loving each other enough. We've sung about loving each other enough. We've prayed about loving each other. It's time for action. Number three, of course, is spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel. We talk about how important it is. We sing about doing it and we pray about it. But none of that is complete obedience. Jesus did command us to pray for the lost, and we should diligently and daily pray for the lost. But what I want you to see is this: praying is not a substitute for doing. We must not just talk about it. The son that said he would go but did not go disobeyed. It's only the son that actually went that obeyed. Please turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Are you obeying this command? Do you have a clear conscience before God, can you say confidently, I know I am doing all I can to make disciples of Jesus Christ? If you can, praise the Lord. If you can't, then today's your day. You will notice on the back of your note sheet, there are action steps. On the back of your note sheet is a place for you to write out specific action steps you need to be totally committed to making disciples. Now, brothers and sisters, I am not talking about writing this. Some of you are going to want to write this. I need to share Christ with John. I need to share Christ with Jane. And you know what? That's great. And you probably do, and you should write that down. But what I am not talking about is doing something quickly and immediately and then feeling good about yourself for a few weeks. I'm talking about changing your life today. What specific action steps do you need to take to be totally devoted to reaching people for Christ day after day, week after week, year after year, from this day forward? I want you to use the back of the sheet, and I want you to take some time this week and pray about specific things you need to do. Take the sheet home. Pray over an action plan. What do you need to do step by step to change your life? Maybe you need to take Carrie's witnessing class. Maybe you need to join our outreach team. Maybe you need to get a partner that will pray with you and hold you accountable to reach your unsaved friends. Maybe there's someone you need to share the Lord with today. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. We've talked about it enough. We've sung about it enough. We've prayed about it. It's time for action. Let's look at the text one more time. Verse 28, Matthew 21, 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the farmer went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first. I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Why? Look at verse 32. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Why did the tax collectors do the deeds God wanted and the religious leaders did not? Why? Because the religious leaders did not truly have a relationship with Christ. I close with John chapter 15. Would you join me there, please? Jesus is talking to his disciples. In John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. To remain in Jesus means to be connected to him. to have a life-changing relationship with Him that only comes by faith. If you are connected to Christ, you will bear fruit. If you are connected to Christ, He will work the sin out of your life. If you are connected to Christ, He will pour love into your heart. And if you will be connected to Christ, you will obey His commands. It's just like this light. If you look up at that projector right now, I can see that it's on because I can see the lens. You can see the evidence of the light right over there. But what everybody else can see right up there, if you look closely, is there's a black cord. In fact, there's two of them running from the post into the wood. The projector shining light because it's connected to the source. Do you want to see greater holiness in your life? Do you want to see purity and righteousness and holiness overflow out of your heart into your life? Do you want to truly love each other, not talk? Do you want to truly love each other so that everything within you wants to serve and sacrifice those in need? Do you want that? There are people in this room that need you. There are people out there that need you. There are Christians in India that need you. There are Christians on the other side of the world that need you. And I can preach to you, and I can preach to myself, but the only thing that will do it is if you are truly connected to Jesus like that projector is connected to the source. Are you connected? Are you connected? I close with John chapter 6. I know I told you I'd close with John 15, but this time I'm serious. John chapter 6. Verse 26. John 6, 26. I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. Then they ask Him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is to believe in the one He has sent. Are you connected? If you are, we want to help you get more connected. Come talk to an elder at the end of our church today, and we will help you learn how to continually abide and remain in Jesus Christ. Are you not connected? Come talk to us afterwards, and we will help you get connected. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And we pray that out of a relationship with Him, we would be the church that you want us to be, both individually and as a family. In Jesus' name, amen.